If you have that paper and pen, I want you to keep it out. This morning's message, I have only a couple of slides, and I'm not sure if I'm even going to get off the first one. This particular slide, the Lord has just been burning something in my heart. Before we get into it, I want to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for how powerful and true it is. I pray, God, that as we turn to you and we follow you, God, that you will help us, Lord, to understand it and to fulfill it. Lord, you came and you fulfilled your calling on this earth, and I just pray that you would help us to do the same. Bless each one today. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, I'd like to welcome our visitors this morning. God bless you. Good to have you. We're so thankful that you have come. And again, I trust that God is going to do something awesome for you today. Even if, you know what, even if you didn't enjoy the music, if you didn't, even if you don't enjoy the sermon, whatever the case may be, I trust that God will honor each and every person who comes to this place, because I believe you come here because you're searching something from God. And I believe that whenever we call on his name, he responds. He is always there. And you might, I've had people say, well, God, don't talk to me. Well, sometimes even in the silence is a powerful response from God. And so just, you know, search for him today and enjoy his presence and just trust that he wants to do something greater than what you've ever understood or known before. And so God bless you and thank you for coming. Now, the reason why I want you to have a pen and a paper out is because I want you to write these scripture verses down. You don't have to write them all out, but write down at least these five scripture references, and I'll explain why in a few moments. You see, I believe, I've been struggling as of late and with people who are unaware or not capable of communicating the gospel to somebody else. This really concerns me. I believe that the church, every individual who is a part of the church needs to know, needs to be able to communicate the gospel to somebody. Now, a lot of people find that very difficult and hard. And, you know, as I was thinking about that, it's like, you know, people really don't understand the gospel that they believe. And so I'm always trying to encourage people to, you know, figure out what the Romans Road is. You know, you can go online and get information. You can, the internet is a huge wealth of information. If just type in Google, you know, lead somebody to Christ, and you're going to find all kinds of information there that can help you. And I think it's important for us to be able to do that. But as I was pondering that and as I was thinking about that, it occurred to me that not only do people not understand biblical salvation, but neither do a lot of people understand biblical spiritual growth. And that would be the reason why people don't understand how to communicate the gospel. Because spiritual growth is important. Maturing in the Lord is important in order to know the principles, in order to know the concepts, in order to know the road that he has for each and every one of us to walk in order that we can be fruitful servants of Jesus Christ. You see, there's all kinds of scripture that talks about growing in the Lord. All kinds of scripture that talks about producing in God's kingdom. And what happens if we don't produce in God's kingdom? If you know your Bible, you know that you're in trouble. And so what people do is they go a certain distance. You know, they come to know God. They come to find out that, oh, yes, he's awesome. And yes, he died for my sin. But I can't communicate that to anybody else because I haven't grown enough to be able to be mature enough to share that with anybody. That's a deep concern of mine. Not just for, you know, people in my realm, but the church in general, across the board. You can go to any church in our community, any church across this nation, and you can find believers who have been in filling pews for years and years and years who are unable to produce anything for Jesus Christ. That scares me. And I'm going to explain a few things about that. Now, these particular verses, I believe, I titled this message, The Master Key. The Master Key. I believe in these five verses, we can find the master key of our Christian life that which Jesus Christ has called us to do. And it starts out with Matthew 4:17. When Jesus started his ministry, he started out, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then he says in Matthew 16:24, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." In Matthew 4:19, the verse we talked about for the last couple of weeks, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." But then we move on to Acts 1:8, where Jesus says, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." And finally, Mark 16:15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I believe this is a master key for the Christian life. You start at the beginning and you end up at the end. But see, the problem is we tend to start at the beginning, but we don't always continue on to the end. And that's a dangerous thing for any believer. You see, while on earth, God wants us to get saved. He wants us to grow in wisdom and knowledge of Him and become servants of His to bring others to Him. Jesus talked about us being servants. We are His friends, but yet we are His servants. Now, as a servant, we understand that we are under His employment. Okay? Now, let me ask you this question. All of you who have a job, what happens? You go someplace, you get trained on how to do the job, you perform the job, you produce for the company, and when it's all said and done, you become an employee, hopefully, that advances that company. What happens if you go to the job and they do their best to train you, but you don't produce anything? You never get the concept. You never get the idea that the company is there to help, that you're there to help the company grow and to produce and to thrive. And you become dead weight to the company. What happens? You get fired. You're out. And you know what? I don't think that we really understand sometimes that God's kingdom is similar to that company where we are called to be a part of it. And we are called to be, He gives us everything that we could possibly utilize to train us, to bring us to the place where we are serving Him, the place where we are producing for Him, where we're advancing His kingdom. With all of the believers in Jesus Christ today, I believe that God's kingdom should be thriving on this earth. Can you imagine that? Is there anybody that's convinced at the moment, if you look at the news or if you look around their city, was there anybody that believes that God's kingdom is thriving? It kind of doesn't look that way. And I think the problem is me. And you. I'm not going to throw myself under the bus without bringing you all with me. You see, while we're on earth, we are all somewhere within these five verses. We're either needing to be saved, or we are in the growing, maturing process, or we are doing our part in winning souls, advancing God's kingdom on earth. I believe that this is God's will, that we get saved, we become soul winners as soon as possible. And I believe it's Satan's will to keep us from getting saved in the first place and to slow us down all the rest of the way if we do. You understand that? God's got a plan for our life, and Satan's got a plan for our life. And I want to ask you to ask yourself, okay, who's winning at this plan? Whose plan am I following? Whose plan is victorious in my life? Because if I'm victorious in God's plan, or God's plan is victorious in me, I know how to communicate the gospel to somebody. I very often will tell somebody about Jesus. Make it a point. Make it a purpose in your life to share the gospel with other people. God's will is for us to be saved. His will is for us to be disciple makers. Winning souls. And you know what? He loves it when it happens quick. somebody gets saved, the next thing you know, and it's evident, and a lot of times when somebody gets saved, they get it real quick, and they're just telling everybody about Jesus, but then what happens? Satan kind of comes along and puts the brakes on you, because he doesn't want that to happen. In our natural lives, here's the progression. We are born, we grow and mature and become productive in society, or I hope we do, and we die. But in our spiritual lives, we're born again, we grow and mature and become productive in God's kingdom, or at least I hope we do, and then instead of dying, we resurrect. Isn't that awesome? I think God's spiritual kingdom, you know, the life that God gives us as in spiritually, when it ends with resurrection rather than death, that's something that's awesome, and we should rejoice in that, and we should be telling people about that. If you don't know how to tell somebody about Christ, you could just use that alone. Say, hey, you know what? I'm never going to die. And they're going to look at you like, who do you think you are? And you say, you know what? I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. And he says, when I die, I'm going to heaven with him and I'll live. How hard is that? Satan does everything he can to get it, to keep us from being born, and especially being born again. How many know that Satan did not want you to be born? Anybody hear the news lately? What's going on with the whole Planned Parenthood thing? You know, the CareNet Center, they did a video, and they showed all of, they just did this visual video. I wish I had it here. I don't have it here. They showed all of the lives that were killed in all of the wars, and they used kernels of corn to demonstrate that. In all of the lives in all of the wars, it didn't even fill this one little cup. But then they showed all of the lives of all of the unborn babies who were aborted, and it filled like five big containers. Satan does not want people to be born. And he certainly does not want people to be born again. You know, you think that, I'm curious of the spiritual abortion rate that comes when people deny Christ, that comes when, you know, this whole evolution teaching and all of that. You know what that is? That's anti-God. That's spiritual abortion. When you can convince somebody else that there's another way outside of God, and I don't mean to get it, I'm not getting all political here, I'm just talking about the truth. If you can convince somebody not to turn to God, you've aborted that spiritual soul. That's what Satan wants to do. You see, he doesn't want us to be born. He doesn't want us to be born again. He does everything he can to keep us from growing and maturing and becoming productive. If you look at the society today, and you look around, how many people in society have become unproductive in society? Isn't that amazing? Well, if we follow a critical path to success, then we will go and we will get educated, and we'll follow, you know, whatever the dream is that's in our heart, or whatever the skill is that you have, and you'll go and you'll be trained, and you'll grow in that, and you'll mature in that, and you'll become productive in society. Business owners, you know, just employees, people who work hard for a living. You add to society. Satan doesn't like that. He would rather you become useless to society or a debt to society. And you can look all around us and you see all this poverty, and you see all these, you know, I don't have anything, I don't know why I'm going on off on these tangents. I don't have anything against the welfare system. It's there for a purpose. But I do have a problem, and everybody sitting here probably has a problem with people that you know don't belong on that system. And it's a drain to society. But you see, what's happened is Satan has convinced society that you don't have to do anything. You don't have to grow. You don't have to mature. You don't have to be educated. You don't have a message for anybody. Just sit on your couch and we'll take care of you. That's not how it works. And spiritually speaking, it's kind of the same. You know, as nature goes, a lot of times so does the spiritual go. And if society is sitting on the couch, guess what? So are a whole bunch of spiritual people sitting in churches, just sitting on the crouch, not growing, not growing in God, not maturing in the things of the Lord, not becoming productive citizens of God's kingdom. Satan does everything he can to get us to die before our time and not be resurrected. He wants to kill the unborn. If you are born, he doesn't want you to live a full and fruitful life. He wants to end you as soon as he possibly can, because if he knows that if God gets a hold of your heart and your life gets changed, you're going to get saved and you're going to live. That bothers Satan for some unknown reason. If for no other reason, I believe it's just so that he could have control of your life while he's on. You know, Satan got kicked out of heaven because he wanted to be God. He wanted to be like God. Well, he is called the Lord of this world. And if he can kill you here before you find Jesus Christ, then he'll feel like he is Lord over you. And he likes to be Lord over you in this world, doesn't he? Well, it won't happen if we follow this particular key. We repent of our sin, and we deny ourselves, and we take up our crosses, and we follow him, and he makes us fishers of men. And then he gives us power through his Holy Spirit to be witnesses to him, and then we go out and we tell other people about Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's how it works. You start at the beginning, and there's an end. And you know what? That end is an awesome job. It is an awesome job to tell people about Christ. And I'm not talking about, oh, y'all got to be pastors, or y'all got to be missionaries, y'all got to be this or the other. But you know what? You do need to be soul winners. You do need to be disciple makers. Every disciple needs to grow and mature in your spiritual walk in order that you can then turn around and make disciples. Now what happens is we get started well sometimes. Many people, they'll come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Oh, this is awesome. My sins are forgiven. I'm going to follow Christ all my life. And then as soon as something comes along, trial comes, gets difficult, or you find out, hey, you know what? If I just kind of sit near the back, I don't really have to do anything. Well, unfortunately, around here, the preacher likes to pick on the people in the back as much as he does the people in front and those all in between. And I thank God that those sitting in the back are some of that do some of the greatest work in this church. But you know, there's a verse. Peter had gotten off track a little bit, and there's a verse that's called in Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. Says, Paul confronts him. He says, you did run well, but who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? And you know what? You getting saved, that's a good thing. You attending church, that's a really good thing too. But you know what? Why is it that we let Satan hinder us from going the rest of the way? And so I want to look at these five verses and be honest about where we are in the process of spiritual maturity. Now, I could go around and with some of you, I know most of you, and I could say, okay, you're here, or you're there, or maybe, you know, let's discuss this. Maybe you're farther along than I think. Maybe you're not as far along as I think. But I don't want to do that. I want you to do that for you. I want you to look at these verses and do a little truth and a little soul searching and say, where am I in the process of my spiritual growth? If you're not saved, then repent of your sin and call upon Jesus to save you. Okay? If you are saved, but you're not a productive member of God's kingdom, then determine in your heart to grow and mature in the things of God so that you will be a productive member of God's kingdom. Determine in your heart. Determine in your heart. Say to yourself, I'm going to grow in God's. I'm going to mature in spiritual things. It's important that you choose to do that. Everything in life is a choice, isn't it? You chose to get saved, and that was wonderful, right? You have no idea. If you haven't taken a next step, if you haven't gone a little farther to grow and mature in the things of God, I challenge you to do that, and you will find that that's even greater. And if you're a seasoned Christian but not witnessing for Christ, get involved in the soul-winning process. This is an all-hands-on-deck war that we are battling with the devil for this city. Do you know that? It's an all-hands-on-deck. That means everybody who confesses Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior needs to be growing and maturing and getting involved in the fight. Could you imagine? Do you know how quickly we could take a city? If every member of the church, and I'm not just this congregation, but every member of every Bible-believing church in Geneva were grown and mature and producing for God, could you imagine how quickly we could take this city? It truly is an all-hands-on-deck situation. Now, I find it interesting, the verse right in the middle there, there's a transition. Do you see it? A transition. Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. A transition from getting saved to becoming soul winners. That's really what that transition is. And so really what I'm here to do this morning is simply challenge you. These are refrigerator verses. Put these on your refrigerator every morning when you get up. I'm at least letting you get out of bed this time. Go to the refrigerator. Usually I say before you put your feet on the floor in the morning. Do all those things, but then get out of bed and go to the refrigerator and look at these verses. And determine in your heart that day, okay, where am I in this process? If you are not going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature, and I'm not saying you have to travel all around the world, just go to your world, the world that's around you, and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I know that it says every creature. If you look at different translations, it just says tell everybody. That word creature there is really the word that's used in the Hebrew or whatever it is an endearing term that God used pertaining to mankind. And so if you are not to the place where you are comfortable preaching the gospel to everybody that's in your world, you've still got some growing and some maturing to do. Be aware of that. Do what you need to do. You see, there has to come a pivotal time, a transition time in our life where we go from drinking milk to eating meat, where we go from just receiving all the information to giving all the information. Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. The follow me part is on you. You choose to follow him. The making you fishers of men, that's on him. As we submit to him, he pours his life into us, and then we're capable of doing what it is he's called us to do. The only other verse I had on the slide this morning was this one, Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and teach, which means the word teach there is a word that actually means make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And you know, we really need to be concerned with all of God, not just part of God. We need to, you know, talk about God the Father. We need to talk about Jesus Christ the Son. And we need to talk about the Holy Spirit. That's all of God. And so if you're out there preaching and teaching, doing what God has called you to do, but you don't really have a quite grasp on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, then I encourage you, you know what? There's still more growing, still more maturing to do. Where am I in the process? That's the question I want you to ask yourself each morning when you go to the refrigerator and you look at these scripture verses. Am I even following him? Am I denying myself at all and taking up my cross? Am I allowing Him to change my life? Am I allowing His Holy Spirit to come inside of me and to change my life and to empower me to do what God's called me to do? Preach the gospel to every creature. I have a challenge. This week, do not let another week go by without telling somebody about Jesus. I would like to say, don't let another day go by. But I'm giving you a little slack. Because I know it's not always that easy. Why isn't it always that easy? Because we have a devil who does everything he can to shut our mouths, to stop us. He does not want God's kingdom to advance. You know what he loves to do? He loves to take believers and hinder them. He loves to take us and, you know what? Okay, you got saved, but you're not going to save anybody else. I'm shutting your mouth. I'll put a sin in your life, or I'll put a temptation in your life that'll steal your testimony. You'll be so embarrassed about what you've done that you won't even dare lift up your voice and say anything about Jesus. You know, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to berate you. He wants to disarm you. He wants to do everything he can to keep you from growing and maturing, keep you from telling somebody else about Jesus, because if somebody else learns about Jesus, oh, there's another one he's lost. And it's my job and it's your job to make sure that he is not successful in that. What is this all about? You know, all too often we will do everything we can to get somebody saved. And once they're saved, hallelujah, they've made it. Let's go on to the next. Look at all these souls. You know, I've seen preachers. Oh, I saved this many today, and I saved that many today. Well, the truth is, if they were all truly saved, this would be a different place. Realize there's more to God's plan in your life than just securing your resurrection to heaven. There's more to it. As a matter of fact, if we don't figure out the rest of it, if I read Scripture right, there's a good chance that just because we believe in Him doesn't necessarily mean we're going to make it. There's a lot of verses that talk about pruning the dead branches. Verses that talk about, you know, if all you have when I show up is what I gave you, and you didn't invest any of it anywhere, I'll take what little bit you have away and give it to somebody else. You see, there's a process. Where are we in the process? Where are we? And that's why I say, I believe this is like a master key. And there's several verses that could be used for a master key in life. But these ones just stuck out to me. Get saved. Get sanctified. And get busy doing God's work. Now, you might have thought, we're going to go enjoy church today. It's going to be just like every other Sunday. We're going to have a nice sermon. Well, I hope that's what every other Sunday is like. We're going to have a nice sermon and hear some music and just give our love to the Lord. And then we're going to go about the rest of our week with nothing really being required of us. Now, that's not one of those sermons today. Nice and loud, huh? That was awesome. That was awesome. Who went to cruising night down in Geneva? What's that? No, there's some in the back. Cruising night, the biggest party Geneva throws every year. Seneca Street, you couldn't even walk down. Exchange Street was close to it. I never even made it over to Castle Street when in the heat of it. I don't know what was going on over there. But I know that Pastor Brown was over there with his food mobile and sold out everything, so they had to be a crowd. One of the greatest opportunities to witness about Jesus Christ to a community. They were all there. Well, except you guys that didn't go. I had a booth. We put up a little booth to just give out information. And this group of young kids, there's probably five or six kids, teenagers. They were looking at what we had, and I offered them, we had candy. I offered them some candy. This kid pulls out a track, hands it to me, says, "Can I tell you about Jesus?" I wish I let him tell me about Jesus. But instead I said, "Well, I'm a pastor." I said, "Would you like me to tell you about Jesus?" And they were just like, it was awesome. I said, "Where are you guys from? What are you doing? You guys are awesome. You're doing a great job out here." That's what, and they came from the other side of Sterling somewhere. I forget the name of the town. One of the other pastors in town was over in front of Area Records giving out free water with a little note on there about where his church was, his church address. He hired, I don't know if he hired them or if he just called them, but he had called them, this teenage group from who knows where, they're over an hour away, to come and hand out tracts cruising night. And that's what they did. And by the time they got to us, they were all out. They ran out of tracts. So I said, "Good, hand out some of my stuff." And they took some of our stuff, and I trust they handed that out too. And so I asked them, they're all in front of me, I asked them the same question I ask everybody else. Is everybody standing here, this little group, do you all really understand how to tell somebody about Jesus? And they all go, "Yeah." Oh, I thought, "Oh, yes." Nice and loud, so everybody can hear you. I see. All right. Air conditioners are loud. My wife says, because I don't know your story, so we're going to make you speak it into my.
I've been going to tell you this a million times.
You're going to tell me a million times?
Yes.
Today's the day.
I know. When I was in high school, I was in a club called High C, and it stood for High School for Christ. And we were taught to always take our Bible. It was always on top of all my books. When I went class to class, I had my Bible with me. And what they taught us was they gave us a plan of salvation to use when we, you know, talk to people. And what we did is we always started with John 3:16, because we all knew that one, it was easy to find. Then what we would do is write the next scripture verse, the next reference on the margin for the next scripture. That way you didn't have to keep all those scriptures in your head, you know, where to find them. They're right there. You go to the next one was there. Go to the next one was there. And it made it so much easier to be able to share with people because you wasn't fumbling with any paper. You just go right from one scripture to another. And I thought that was awesome. You know, I did it right in my little Bible that I had. And so.
That is a great plan. If you're
is.
One who carries a Bible, start at John 3:16 and just write the next scripture verse that you want to talk about in line. And what I've done is I wrote out the Romans Road, the verses for Romans Road. I keep it in my wallet because you want to be able to explain the gospel to somebody. And if you think about it, it could be such a simple, natural, normal thing in our everyday lives if we would purpose in our heart to do what God's called us to do. How hard is that? Stand with me this morning. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, let me start there. If you don't even know what I'm talking about when I say, "Are you saved?" I would like to share that with you. Please do not leave this building. If you don't understand biblical salvation, I would love to share that with you. If you are saved, but you haven't grown, if you're not comfortable, you haven't gotten to the place in your life where you're comfortable to share the gospel with somebody else, that means you got more growing and more maturing to do in God. That means there's I'm not condemning you for that, but I'm encouraging you, you know what? Grow and mature in the things of God so that you know what you're talking about. So that you can easily communicate love to, because every single one of us, every single day, we come across people that are hurting. We come across people that are just broken. in need of a Savior and lost and in so need of a Savior. And guess what? God sent you that day. We need to be able to recognize through His Spirit, hey, this one needs Christ. And be open and willing to share the gospel with those that are lost. Because who knows? You might be the last person that person sees. Ever. You don't know. And so we need to be obedient. We need to be about growing God's kingdom. And so if you're not there yet, then I encourage you, purpose in your heart to mature and grow in the things of God. If you're a seasoned Christian, and perhaps, you know, one day you did do that, but for some reason you're not doing it now, you know, like Paul said, who hindered you? Let's get back on track. Let's do church for what God intended the church to be. A group of believers who gather together to learn from one another, to worship Him together, to study His Word, to grow in wisdom and knowledge of Him, and become an army that advances His kingdom. That's what His goal is for us. I want to be a part of that. I've said this many times. When I stand before Jesus Christ on that day, and we are all going to stand before Him at some point, and He looks me in the face, and if He asks me, Dale, I gave you my Word. I gave you my Spirit. I anointed you, and I gave you lost souls to win. Where are they? I want to be able to say, they're right here, God. They're right here. And I want each and every one of you to be able to say the same thing. Because He has given you His Word. He's given you His Spirit. And He's put an anointing and a calling on each and every one of you. Each and every one of us. And we are going to be accountable for somebody. I hope that we can all say, here they are, God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word and how, Lord, You can make it so simple for us if we would just look at it and if we would just study it and put it in our hearts and purpose in our hearts and our minds, God, to do what it is You intend for us to do. We thank You for saving our souls. We thank You for providing Your Spirit, O God. And we thank You, God, that You have given us tongues to speak, hands to reach, feet to go to the other ends of the world to tell somebody else about You. I pray a powerful blessing over this congregation today, Lord, that each and every person in this place would determine in our hearts to do exactly that. Lord, You've called us. You equip us. You bring us to the place. Forgive us, Lord, where we've fallen short. And God, inspire us that perhaps not a week go by or even a day where we don't realize the call on our lives and tell somebody else about Your love. Father, bless each one today. I pray, God, that we leave inspired and encouraged and driven to follow Your master plan and win souls. To advance Your kingdom and not ours. I rebuke the devil who would cause us to trip and to stumble. And God, I call upon Your Holy Spirit to fill us and empower us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. I hope you don't feel too beat upon. I didn't intend to do that, but my goal really is to encourage you. Get the master key. Figure out where you are in the plan and start moving forward. Amen. God bless. Yes, Danny, one more thing. Pray for who? Rhonda? Oh, yeah, she had a little car accident the other day. If I could have some of the ladies just go and lay your hand on Rhonda nice, gently. And, yes, Laura and Chris have traveled to France. I don't know. I haven't heard any of the situation, but if they're traveling to France, I can only surmise they need prayer. And so keep Laura and Chris in your prayer over the next few weeks. Anyone else have someone that just needs a real miracle, just a move of God? Yes, Chris. Okay. Your sister-in-law, okay. Okay. Elle, thanks for coming today, even though you're not feeling well. I trust God will bless you. Gloria, you had your hand up too? Oh, okay. All right, well, let's pray. Yes? Traveling Mercies for the Shells, going on vacation. Hallelujah. And Dallas. Hopefully he'll be coming home next week. Well, Karen's claiming this week. The end of this week, yeah. And so, yeah, a lot going on. Father, we thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. And we pray for these that are sick, these that are in pain, broken and bruised bodies. Father, I pray for healing. Lord, that you will remove cancers. You will remove other diseases and sicknesses that keep us bound. Take away pain. Restore, Lord, bodies to perfect health, only the way that only you can. And God, I thank you for all that you do in our lives. Bless Laura and Chris as they travel and their family. Lord, whatever's going on there, that you will just watch over them and care for them, have mercy on them, and heal them, Lord. And for these traveling, Father, I just pray for safety along the roads, that they will reach their destinations with joy in their hearts and a purpose in their lives, God, to please you. Have your way in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great afternoon. We'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock for Bible study. And we will also be here if Satan has tripped you along the way with some sort of circumstance in life that keeps you from moving forward so that you can be about God's business, Wednesday night's a perfect night to come and deal with that at Celebrate Recovery at 7 o'clock. So enjoy seeing you all there. Have a blessed afternoon.